forgiven freely. No more guilty.
Scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube-streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on the 26th of July, 2026. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, reading from the 26th verse. Likewise, the Spirit help us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. We are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather, who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will affliction, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it's written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, no life, no angels, no rulers, no things present, no things to come, no powers, no height, no depth, no anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today's sermon was written jointly by Pastor Nev and myself. Any jokes contained within are his, and I take no responsibility for them. Let's pray. Gracious God, strengthen our faith through your living word, that we may trust your promises and rejoice that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. Amen. In today's reading from Romans, Paul speaks one of the greatest promises in the Bible. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. These verses are among the most loved in all of Scripture. They're often read at funerals because they speak so powerfully into the reality of death. but they are not only words for funerals. They are words for every day when life feels uncertain, when grief overwhelms us, when illness comes, when relationships break down, when anxiety creeps in, or when we wonder where God is. These verses remind us that the power of God in Jesus Christ is always a power that brings life and defeats the would-be powers of death. I love being a Lutheran Christian because I've been taught the gospel. God for me. God on the cross for me. I've been taught that the gospel isn't simply good advice about how to live. It is the good news of what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. It is, as Paul says, the very power of God that saves. And this morning we saw that gospel with our own eyes in Evie's baptism. Through something as ordinary as water joined to God's extraordinary word, God acted. God claimed Evie as his own. God wrapped her in the victory of Christ over sin, death, and the evil one. God gave promises that neither Evie nor her family could manufacture for themselves. It's important that we remember our own baptisms too. Not because baptism is something that we've done for God, but because it reminds us of what God has done for us. Because there are many times in life when we feel powerless. Grief can leave us powerless. Illness can leave us powerless. Our own sin can certainly leave us powerless. And fear of the future can also leave us powerless. Paul and the Christians in Rome knew that, which is why Paul wrote this letter, to proclaim the power of God at work in and for his people. And maybe this is why Martin Luther loved the book of Romans. It was through Romans that the gospel became wonderfully clear to him. After years of trying to earn God's favour, Luther discovered what Paul had been saying all along. Salvation is God's gift from beginning to end. Paul announces it right at the beginning of the letter. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Not human power, not my goodness, not my determination, but God's saving power for me and for all people through the gospel. There may be times when we wonder whether we're under spiritual attack. Although defeated through Christ's death and resurrection, Satan still seeks to draw people away from Christ. And you may feel this sometimes. But Satan is a defeated enemy. That's why Luther encouraged Christians every day to return to Christ in repentance, to drown the old sinful self and rise again to the new life that we've already been given in baptism. Every day, we return to God's promises rather than relying on our own strength. And Paul doesn't mince his words. Earlier in Romans, he reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. No exceptions. Like the serpent in the garden, you and I don't have a leg to stand on. Okay, that's the only joke. Here we go. Thanks, Pastor Nev. Luther knew that only too well. He knew the weight of his own sin. He knew that the wages of sin is death, and he feared God's judgment. And Satan delighted in keeping him trapped in fear and despair. But God acted. Paul tells us that we are justified, declared righteous, not because of anything that we've achieved, but by God's grace as a gift through Jesus Christ. Justified is a courtroom word. The case has been heard, the verdict has been delivered, the sentence has been carried out, but not upon us, upon Christ. The price for sin has been paid once and for all on the cross. Throughout Romans, Paul keeps returning to this wonderful truth. God's saving action always comes first. God's grace always comes first. God's love always comes first. Then as Paul reaches chapters 5 to 8, He begins speaking honestly about what it's like to live as Christians in the real world. He begins chapter 5 with these beautiful words. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Not because our lives are perfect, not because our faith is perfect, but because Christ is faithful. Then chapter 8 begins with another astonishing declaration. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Not less or sort of temporary condemnation, but no condemnation. It seems abundantly clear that God wants his people to live with assurance rather than fear. God's gifts received in faith are sure because they depend upon God's faithfulness, not ours. And God continues to work this saving power in us through the gift of his Holy Spirit. That same Spirit was given to Evie this morning in baptism. The same Spirit continues to work through God's Word, pointing us away from ourselves and always back to Christ. So maybe whenever Evie begins to wonder who she is, her family can remind her of Paul's wonderful words. If God is for us, who can be against us? But Paul and Luther and every Christian who has ever lived also know that there are opposing powers still very much at work in the life of the believer. I once knew a devout Christian who was convinced that he had become a perfect new creation in Christ who no longer sinned. He sincerely believed it. We talked about it because that belief had led him to make some very harsh and hurtful judgments about other Christians. Ironically, those judgments were themselves sinful. He was a sincere Christian. He loved Jesus. But he continued to sin. And so do I. And so do you. And that's exactly Paul's experience in Romans 7. With remarkable honesty, Paul describes the ongoing struggle with sin. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Can anyone relate to that? I can. We know the good we want to do, yet somehow we fall short. We say words we wish we hadn't spoken. We fail to show love when we should. We ignore opportunities to serve others. We hurt those closest to us. This struggle doesn't disappear simply because we become Christians. Sin remains a power in our lives. It continues to accuse us. It continues to distort relationships. It continues to tempt us away from trusting God's promises. As we heard a few weeks ago, Paul cried out, "What a wretched person I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death?" The answer is not found by looking deeper within ourselves. It's found by looking outside ourselves to Christ. And that is one of the great gifts of our Lutheran understanding of the gospel. When we are burdened by sin, we don't ask, "Have I believed enough? Am I good enough? Is my faith strong enough?" Instead, we look to Christ. We look to the cross. We remember our baptism. We hear once again the promises of the gospel. Our assurance rests not in the strength of our faith, but in the faithfulness of the one who made the promise. And that's why the Holy Spirit is such a precious gift. Earlier in Romans 8, Paul says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness." Sometimes life becomes so overwhelming that we don't even know how to pray, do we? There are just no words, only tears and silence and sighs. Paul says that in those moments, the Spirit intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. When we have nothing left to say, the Spirit is still praying for us. When our faith feels weak, God's Spirit remains faithful. When we cannot hold onto God, God is holding onto us. That is why Paul can ask those wonderful questions near the end of the chapter. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Who is to condemn? The answer is always the same. No one. Nothing. Because Christ has already died for us. Christ has already been raised for us, and Christ now intercedes for us. And then Paul reaches the magnificent conclusion, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Death, life, the present, the future, spiritual powers, the unknown, in other words, everything that we fear. But none of them has the power to separate us from Christ. Death is the great separator, isn't it? We grieve deeply when those we love die. We know the pain of that separation. Yet even death cannot have the final word, because Christ has already defeated death. Life, not death, is what finally defines us. That is why the sign of the cross was traced over Evie today. That sign says that she belongs to Christ. That promise says her future is secure. That promise is true for every one of us who've been baptized into Christ. And it's why we can face both today's challenges and tomorrow's uncertainties with hope. Not because we are strong, but because God is faithful. Not because we always hold tightly to him, but because he never lets go of us. Nothing. Not our failures, not our sin, not our doubts, not our fears, not our suffering, not even death itself. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing? Nothing. Amen.